The views expressed on this show by guests and the hosts on issues outside of the 9/11 controlled demolition evidence are the opinions of those individuals alone and do not necessarily reflect those of architects and engineers for 9/11 truth.
Welcome to 9/11 Freefall. I'm the host, Andy Steele. Today we're joined by Dennis McMahon. Dennis has been an attorney, a legal writer, and legal editor for many years. He's been involved in a number of 9/11 truth-related initiatives that we'll be talking about today. We'll be talking about many other things, too, related to this issue, because it's so important now more than ever. But first, I just want to say, Dennis, welcome back to 9/11 Freefall.
Thank you, Andy. Glad to be here.
So, I don't know if I've asked this in previous interviews, but it's a very interesting question for me to ask my guests, and I think our audience is interested in it, so I always ask it. But please, tell us about your 9/11 story. Where were you? How did you hear the news of what was happening on that day?
Okay, I was at work at 95th Avenue in Manhattan. That's around 14th Street. It's at the outskirts of the West Village. And somebody came into my office and said a plane hit the World Trade Center. I said, what? Really? And I thought about the plane that hit the Empire State Building. I thought it was just some small plane. And then somebody else comes in and says another plane hit the other tower. I said, what? And then we went to this office where we could see the South Tower on fire and smoking and stuff. And then, I don't know, a half hour later, 45 minutes later, it was gone. It was like, what? It fell? And they let us out of work, and I had driven into work that day, and all of the news stations were saying, you can't get out of Manhattan. You got to walk out of Manhattan. And there was a WFUV, Fordham University radio station, sponsored by students, run by students, and they said the Queensboro Bridge is open, 59th Street Bridge is open. So I drove a couple people home, dropped somebody off, and took me about 3 hours to go for about a 45-minute ride. But, you know, I went home and then I went out to Coney Island and all of the smoke from the towers were blowing south into Brooklyn. And I was on the boardwalk in Coney Island. I'm watching the smoke just pass by. It was just like surreal. And in those days, I never really listened to the mainstream media because I had investigated the JFK assassination way back when, and I stopped listening to mass media. But I never really thought it was a false flag operation, and I didn't really tune in until around 2008. And the way I got tuned into it was a girlfriend of mine told me about this movie Zeitgeist, and also my company moved down to 195 Broadway. We were back-to-back with the Millennium Hotel, so we were literally right around the corner from Ground Zero. And Alex Jones had one of his protests there in 9/11 in 2008. And that kind of woke me up. Zeitgeist woke me up. And I saw somebody with a T-shirt that said 9/11 was an inside job. And I was like, wow, really? And I started investigating it. And then, you know, I got the impulse to tell other people and spread the word. And that's what I did. And then I was looking for something to do in the summer of 2009. And I found out about the New York City Coalition for Accountability Now, New York City CAN, they were running a petition drive to have voters decide whether we would have a new investigation into 9/11. And I did some petition signing, and I was working with Ted Walter at the time, who was running things. And I said to him, if you need a lawyer, you know, let me know. And then he needed a lawyer when he tried to submit the signatures to the clerk. And I helped him with that, and we got an order to show cause, a motion, and forced it into the courts, and the judge assigned it to the referee, and then, you know, we worked from there. But, you know, originally the county clerk said, New York County clerk said we didn't have enough signatures. We had a massive volunteer effort at the Board of Elections, and we showed that we had enough signatures. I think the cutoff was 26,000 or 28,000 or something like that, and the city conceded, and that was a big deal. But we lost on the merits. The petition itself and what it called for was just too broad to pass substantively, and the judge, Judge Lerner, he rejected it in court. And then 5 years later, during when we had the hearing with Judge Lerner, Judge Lerner asked the corporate counsel, what if they just limited the 9/11 inquiry into the Solomon Brothers building? And he conceded that we could do that. So we tried that again. About 2014, we had the high-rise safety initiative, and again we passed on the votes. But we hired an election attorney. I'm not an election attorney, but we hired an election attorney, and we just did not make it substantively. Just for the record, historically, in the history of the petitions given in New York City, only one has succeeded, and that was Ron Lauders, the billionaire perfume guy. He backed term limits. And that's the only petition drive that has ever succeeded in New York City, to my knowledge. So we were up against the wall, but we did our best, and we got some publicity, and got some people on our side.
Yeah, and these are the steps that people need to take, that you have to go through. I think it is very noble to go ahead and collect those petition signers and go through the system as you need to. And to get as far as you guys did is epic in itself. Now, I want to talk a little bit about NYC Can and focus in on part of the story that you just related, and you talked about the merits of that petition. Can you elaborate on that and why that didn't pass?
I wasn't around when the petition was drafted, and I'm not sure who exactly was involved, but there was this petition on the internet that I think a lawyer had drafted, and then it was adopted by somebody before Ted Walter came on the scene. And, I thought it had been vetted by an election attorney. I just kind of assumed that, and it wasn't. And it failed on every ground. Every substantive ground just failed, So the next time when we did it 5 years later, we went to election attorneys, experts. We still did it, but we still couldn't succeed substantively.
Well, it's a lesson learned, and the thing about 9/11 Truth is that we're doing something that nobody has ever done before in the history of the world, I think. I mean, I've tried to look for examples, I've tried to find historical comparisons, and in some areas, we're just going to make a few comparisons, but really what we are doing is very unique. We have a situation about a lie that's so big, and you have such a big machine standing in the way of ordinary people, including the professionals who know what they're talking about on this topic, trying to keep them from getting to the public. And there's no public education on this issue. I mean, you have some issue like cutting down rainforests. You have people in the media that are behind the activism surrounding that issue. You can get some traction, but we don't have people in the media that are at least openly behind us and willing to cover this topic, and so we really have to write this as we go along and learn lessons, and I think we're doing a lot better now, of course, after all these years of organization and learning, but it was a lot of growing pains as we went forward. Now, moving on to the high-rise safety initiative, something that really struck out to me and really highlighted how the system is really trying to keep this issue suppressed was there was a, I can't remember what it was, some kind of event or a press conference with the mayor, and he was asked about the high-rise safety initiative. I think it was by a reporter. He said that, "I'm going to block it, if it gets any traction." I'm paraphrasing for lack of the quote in front of me. But that really stuck with me and really made me angry at the time. What did you think about that?
Well, it just seems to me to be like a closed system. Like the whole system seems closed. And to penetrate with truth and to dig into what really happened and who did it, they just don't want to go there. They just won't go there. To me, they're accessories to murder for doing that, because they're in a position where they can help expose the truth, and instead they cover it up. And I think that's treacherous. I think that's treason.
It absolutely is. And something that really hit me when I first woke up to 9/11, because I would hear people whisper about this. I think there was somebody that my brother worked with made some comment about how there were bombs in the towers, and I dismissed it when I heard about it. Not because I was outraged at the thought of it. It was because I figured that something that big, somebody would have caught it, that there's systems in place to detect and expose these kinds of plots if they were ever done, and because of those systems, nobody would ever try it. And it really was an eye-opener to see how these institutions are in lockstep with each other. Now it's like a no-brainer to me. It's like my understanding of the world is so much more sophisticated, of course. That's what happens when you get older. But at the time, it was like having your eyes opened to how the world really is. Now, you said you had been questioning JFK and these types of things beforehand. What in your life really opened your eyes to the fact that our institutions really don't have our backs when it comes to these issues that are so big?
Okay, it was when I was in college in the 70s and Watergate hit. I was very much interested in Watergate. And it appeared at the time that the truth was coming out and we got rid of Nixon, that kind of thing. And of course, Vice President Ford succeeded. Vice President Ford was on the Warren Commission, so what does that tell you? You know, so he succeeded to be president, the only president never to be elected. He was never elected. But in any event, the JFK assassination, I was into that. And Robert Groden at the time got a hold of the Zapruder film. And I was working at WNEW Channel 5 newsroom. And Robert Groden had a press conference where he was going to release the Zapruder film. And I was working on the desk assignment. I suggested it. They had respect for me. We were the only station that covered it. We actually scooped Geraldo Rivera. If you remember, Geraldo Rivera revealed on Good Morning America, Good Night America, whatever that show was. You know, we actually scooped him, and we had 1 million viewers, and we showed the Zapruder film on there. And when I did research into the New York Times, it was clear to me that the New York Times was covering up the truth. And that's when I tuned out. That's when I just said, oh, forget about it, you know. And then after that, I just, like, went about my life. I didn't try to do anything politically again until 9/11 hit.
I mean, that sounds like an extreme eye-opening experience, especially since you were involved in the media. And I'm very curious, when I hear these stories, when I talk to people who have been involved in the system that it seems like, I mean, we shouldn't be going head-to-head with, but we are in many instances. How does that work from what you've seen? I mean, how do they maintain this control so tightly over what comes out, and how are journalists just complying with it without raising a fit?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think if you're a true journalist and you push for the truth, the editor might allow that, but then the owner of the publisher company is not going to allow that to go forward. You know, they just simply lock it down. You know, I mean, it's like the lockdown now in New York City. They just lock down the truth. They just lock it down and ignore. You know, sometimes they'll assassinate key witnesses. Sometimes they'll ignore, like a friend of mine, William Pepper, he helped actually draft a memorandum of law with Ted Walter and me when we did the first initiative. And he's exposed Martin Luther King assassination. He's exposed the Robert Kennedy assassination. I mean, in the Robert Kennedy assassination, the medical examiner testified that the shots were fired from behind and point blank, and Sirhan was in front, and they do nothing about it. You know, to me, it's like the whole system at the highest level is fixed. It's rigged. You can't penetrate that. It's very difficult. But I'm very glad to see that the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry is going forward with this this effort with the grand jury and the FBI 9/11 Review Commission, because after 2014 and we tried that second initiative, I thought, I don't see that there's anything else we can do, you know. But these lawyers on the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry are excellent. They make great moves. You know, I support them. And you know, hopefully they can get something through, but it doesn't look like they're going to succeed. It looks like they're going to get knocked out on the standing issue. That's the way it looks right now.
Well, the key is you got to be a polite pain in the butt. And I've been finding that in dealing with other areas of outreach here at AE 911 Truth. And we did that with C-SPAN, where we just kept on going. You don't get angry. You don't get, I mean, certainly don't get violent. And you don't give up, though. And you just let them have the negative reactions. Let the other side have the negative reactions against your simply raising this issue. And that's what we got to keep on doing. I have no doubt we're going to win in the end in the sense of public exposure of this. How it happens, I don't know. I mean, in terms of, you know, what's going to happen to the world before that. But it will come out. The truth will come out.
Yeah, people are waking up, you know, and that's good. But, you know, what can we do officially? You see, that's my problem. That's why I stopped doing things in 2014 after that high-rise safety initiative. I couldn't think of anything to do. But I'm glad to see that there are attorneys working on the grand jury lawsuit, the FBI review commission, the first responders from Franklin Square, Joyer, I think it's Christopher Joyer, calling for a new investigation. But the problem is, who's going to do the investigating? Who is going to do it? When we did the initiative, we were going to do the investigation. That was one of the things the court would not allow.
Well, this is my hope. You can tell me if you think I'm wrong or not, but yeah, at least on the surface, and I know there's a lot of power control that goes on in Congress. Obviously, that's, you don't even have to be a quote-unquote conspiracy theorist to agree with that one. But new people come in to power. There's a lot going on in the world right now, and whether anyone agrees or disagrees with a particular issue or how it's being carried out, things are being shaken up at the moment, and I don't know how it's going to come out on the other end, but there's a chance that it could come out on the other end in a way where we have different officials, different people presiding over bureaucracies, maybe a lessening of the power of some of these bureaucracies. And from that, I see opportunity. You may have new people, more open minds come in and look at this more fairly and be willing and be more courageous to have the investigation we've been asking for all of these years. And then I don't care how much time passes. 20 years, even 30 years, whatever, the revelation that there were explosives inside those towers, that all of these people that were condemning us for saying it were lying through their teeth, were part of a propaganda network. I mean, that will have a huge impact on this country because we are still feeling the effects of September 11th. A lot of the stuff that's going on now, just like butterfly wings, has resulted because of decisions that are made in government post-September 11th. And I'd be happy to get into that more at some other time. So it will still have an impact on this world. People will still care about it. What do you think about all that?
To me, the whole lockdown pandemic thing is an extension of 9/11. You know, the people who are in power keep 9/11 covered up, and now they're telling us what the official story is. I can't believe anything that they say. You know, and the way I see it, they have basically declared, in New York at least, medical martial law. You know, you got the governor just saying you can't go out of your house after 8 o'clock now. I got New York City Mayor de Blasio saying you can't get out of the house after 8 o'clock, you know. And all these riots are ensuing, and I got to tell you, these riots, you know, they sprung up over one murder, one dastardly apparent murder, and it just looks rigged to me. I don't know, you know. So I get to be kind of cynical about it because clearly the 9/11 cover-up was rigged, you know, with the Bush administration. First, they wanted to hire Henry Kissinger to lead the investigation, in quotes. And then they got rid of him. The New Jersey girls got rid of him, and then they brought in somebody else, you know. But it's all, they are in power, and they have the power, and they control the media, and so they control the perception, and the perception triggers reaction, and people want to feel safe. So, yeah, okay, take my rights away, just make me feel safe. And that's what seems to be going on, you know, and you know, but I think it's even worse now. It's beyond 9/11. 9/11 kind of ushered this lockdown in. You know, it took some years, but this is what they're doing. They're basically taking away the Constitution. You have no right to assembly. You don't even have a right to have a girlfriend in your apartment. You know what I mean? Can you imagine this? This is the end of liberty, you know, so that's what they're trying to do. And, you know, if we had gotten truth back then after 9/11, maybe we could have done something and avoided what's happening now. But I don't know what's going to happen now. I have no idea.
Well, I want the audience to imagine a Pandora's box of demons swirling around this nation. Because, as I said before, I think a lot of this, and Dennis just really put a capstone on it, but I think a lot of this is a result of our failure to come to the truth as a country, as a government, about what happened on September 11th. And you know what gets me? I remember a couple of years ago watching the original Night of the Living Dead, the black and white one from the 60s. And first, what got me was the difference in our society from now and then, where they're talking about the governor's going to make an address. But what got me was, this, I got into a discussion with who I was watching it with, and I said, you know, if this was real, something like this was really going on, and, you know, they're telling you to go to these centers and stuff, I would probably not trust them. I would probably think they had something to do with it. And, of course, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have thought that. I just would have been worried about survival. But that shows what this lie has done to people who are awake. Now, somebody who doesn't like what we're saying could point the finger at people like me and you and say, oh, you're the ones doing it. You're the ones who are talking about this. Well, yeah, because there was a murder that took place, and exposing a crime doesn't make the person that's exposing it the criminal here. It's the criminal that gets away with it. And it's right to not trust government. But it's just such a sad state of affairs that we cannot even know anymore what's true, what isn't. You know, even if they have video of it, I mean, who knows if it's been doctored or edited selectively or whatever. So we really are on our own here in this country to determine what's truth and what isn't and make our own decisions about what to do.
You know, there's so much information out there and disinformation and misinformation. You can't, I mean, unless you spend your whole life digging, you know, ultimately you got to trust certain people. So, for example, I don't think any 9/11 truther doesn't trust David Ray Griffin. You know, David Ray Griffin, he speaks the truth. He's inspired Richard Gage. He's inspired other people. He's inspired Kevin Barrett, you know, really good investigators. And so, you know, I listen to the deep investigators. I don't always agree with them, but, you know, you can only go so much. And then the ultimate question is, what can you do? What can you do? I mean, nowadays, you know, I support architects and engineers for 9/11 truth. When I have a few bucks, I give them a few bucks. I enjoy the lawyers committee's efforts. I think they're doing great. You know, Christopher Joya with his call for a new investigation, a grand jury investigation. But, you know, who's in the U.S. attorney seat? You know what I mean? It's like Jeffrey Berman, I believe it is. And, like, you know, he answers to Barr, who answers to Trump. And Trump is not doing anything about 9/11. He had said a couple of things early on around 9/11 that kind of indicated that he knew it was something other than the official story. But he's in the presidency and he's not doing anything. You know, I don't know what he's up against. You know, maybe they have guns on his family's house or something like that. I don't know. Maybe he wants to do something, maybe he doesn't, I don't know. But everybody just seems to be going along with the official story, and that's just so depressing because the official story is a lie.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do here. I mean, it's very small things, but they go a long way. Obviously, the public education stuff, I mean, they're trying to shut down our personal space out in public now with the lockdown things, but you can still share links, you can still talk with fellow truthers, and you can participate in our current and ongoing outreach with Congress. Very simple. We put out a bulletin, it might have been a couple of months ago, asking people to call for phone meetings with their members of Congress, and I will tell you that there's been very few hard no's. There's been a couple of them, but we've actually had some very good meetings going on, and I won't go any further at this point. It is definitely a very worthwhile outreach, and that's all I'll say. So you just have to trust me. But do it. Contact us, congress@ae911truth.org. Go to your congressman's website or congresswoman's, fill out the form. If they don't respond to you immediately, let me know. I'll get involved and we'll try to get you that meeting. You got to be a little bit persistent with this, but it is yielding some good fruit here. So that's something you can do, and it's better than doing nothing. And you got to keep on talking to people about this, because every time you bring up this issue, you wake people up, you're spray painting "Remember Building 7 all over the agendas of the people that are trying to control you right now. So you can't lose hope, and just got to ride it out and not be afraid of everything that's happening around you. Just stay focused on what your goal is and what your path is. That's my advice. I don't know. What do you think about that, Dennis?
That sounds good. What was that website again?
Which website?
To contact.
Oh, just first go to your congressman's office. Not their office, but to their website. And they usually have a form on there for being able to schedule a meeting. If you need help finding it, you can write to me, congress@ae911truth.org. We made the email very simple. But go ahead and make the initial outreach yourself so that you're the constituent. They have to care about what you have to say because you vote for them. And then it'll be some time. Tell us that you did it. congress@ae911truth.org. And then we'll keep an eye on what's going on. If you haven't heard from them for a while, then there's some strategies here for trying to get a response and get this meeting going. But the first step is to just put in that request for the meeting. If you need help doing that, write to me and I'll help you with doing it. I'll hold your hand the entire way if you need it. But that's just one thing you can do. And trust me, it's definitely worthwhile. Dennis, we are out of time. Do you have any final thoughts to leave our audience with?
Well, I'm very thankful for AE911 Truth and the Lawyers Committee and Christopher Joya and all of the researchers have done so much deep work on this. David Ray Griffin, Kevin Barrett is good, so many good. Research what they do and draw your own opinions. That's my view.
All right. Well, Dennis, thank you for all the work over the years. Thank you for coming on today and talking to our audience. And good luck and stay safe out there. This program is on every Thursday night on No Lies Radio at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, and every other Sunday night on BBS Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Pacific. You can also keep track of the archives by going to 911freefall.com. This is Andy Steele. So have a great week. Good luck.